About Craft.
This is Daft About Craft, the craft beer podcast, proudly brought to you in association with independent bottle shop Real Ale. You can buy online at realale.com and in-store at Twickenham, Notting Hill and Maida Vale. Follow them on Instagram at realale_ltd.
Daft About Craft.
Well, there's the music, so it must mean it's time for another episode of Daft About Craft, the craft beer podcast. 3 weeks have gone by since you last heard from us, so we're back with episode number 9 with me, Dave D.
And me, Dave B.
And we'll be guiding you through all of our usual features and lots more. We've got loads coming up on this episode and a very special announcement, as you will have heard there at the top of the show, Dave.
Yes, as Dave says, we are now in association with Real Ale. It's all come together and we're really pleased it has, because hopefully it means for our listeners, you get to hear about even more beer and hopefully try even more beer and find out even more about craft beer, which is exactly what we're trying to do here.
Absolutely. And one part of the show we're going to change up a little bit this time is a new section called Drink Along With Us. And you may have seen on social media in the last couple of weeks, we've been advertising a few beers that we're going to drink on this show today. And hopefully you have got hold of them at a discounted rate from Real Ale. They've been kind enough to allow you to buy them from them at a cut price, so you can drink your beer as we're drinking our beer, and hopefully, well, that might be quite an interesting experience, Dave.
Yes, so we're really hopeful that Drinking Along With Us is going to sort of offer up a new way of drinking your beers and tasting them, and let us know how you find them, what you like, what you don't like. Maybe it's something that reminds you of another beer, and it should just hopefully be a really interactive experience, or certainly as interactive as we can get on a podcast.
We've got to thank Real Ale very much indeed for coming on board and supporting us as we move forward. And hopefully you'll enjoy getting your beers at that cut rate from them. Now, I've also got plenty more coming up on this edition of Daft About Craft, including a chat with our pals at Vault City. Regular podcast listeners will know they're one of my very favourite breweries, real kings of the modern sour beer, and their marketing manager Andy is dropping in to talk to us and tell you what they were up to last year and what plans are ahead for them after their move to Edinburgh from Dundee. We've also got Hype or Tripe, where we road test this time not one but two massive beers that have been doing the rounds and getting rave reviews in some quarters. We give those a good thorough drilling and see if they hit the mark. And plenty more coming up as we kick off with this.
Brew to Me on Daft About Craft.
And if you've listened before, you will know that Brew to Me is where we get hold of a beer from a brewery we haven't tried before and see what it's like. And over to Dave B to kick us off this time.
Yeah, so I'm still just about finishing off an order I got in January, and I purposefully held back this beer to go with a couple of other beers I've got from these guys. And these guys are Rig and Furrow, who are up in Northumberland. They're a farmhouse brewery, and I'm trying Flagleaf, which is their farmhouse table beer. So only 3.5%. I've gone in quite light to start, but I've also got a stout and I've also got a wheat beer from them, but I thought I'd go for the table beer because I do quite enjoy a really nicely done table beer, probably over something like a session IPA.
The big question is, and we've said it a few times before, will it hold its taste and flavour all the way through?
Well, the farmhouse element is advertised on the back. So we've got dry hopped with Mosaic and Simcoe, so it's a fairly traditional blend there, but it's fermented with a blend of farmhouse yeast. So this should be sort of funky in my head before I taste it. It should be funky with also some sort of classically fruity to dry, bittery hop combination.
It looks maybe more transparent than I might have imagined.
Very clear. If someone had poured this and I hadn't seen it, I'd have perhaps thought this could be a lager.
Mm.
Very, very clear. Slightly reminiscent of last month's Little Misters, which was a juicy IPA, which was my brew to me, and that was clear as well. But this doesn't scramble my mind as much. I'm quite happy that this is clear. The nose is a little bit funky, perhaps influenced by what's on the back of the can. It says flavors of berries, watermelon, and tropical fruit. And on the nose, there is a little bit of watermelon for me, but more importantly, let's see what we're getting. Watermelon's definitely there. Now, whether that is, that could be quite clever, actually, because that could be the water in terms of the higher content here, because we're only at 3.5% ABV. So I'm going to get a sort of quite a watery taste almost. But then the hop comes through on the end, which does give me that watermelony flavour. Now, there is a bit of fruit. I don't get berries. But I think berries in pale beer is very hard to pull off. I've noticed there's been a few beers at Verdison at the moment, hops, which are supposed to be doing dark berries, and I don't get it. But that's not bad. That's quite a nice table beer. That, in fact, that is exactly what I'd want out of a table beer. Holds up way better than a session IPA for me.
The head seems to be lasting quite a long time as well as you go around the glass there.
Sort of a little bit there, isn't it? Good retention. Sort of a little soapy head on it still, which is refusing to go away, which is nice. Yeah, this isn't bad at all. Goes down ever so quick because it's 3.5%, so it doesn't really touch the sides. It's not overly complicated, but I don't need it to be. It shouldn't be, should it, for a table beer?
Absolutely. And when you say it isn't bad at all, if people out there haven't listened to the podcast before, that is very high praise, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I do get a bit, I don't give out praise freely. It's true. And I like this. I could quite happily have this either on tap or in cans, and I could fill up a fridge and have these, especially when hopefully we get into spring and summer and things lighten up a bit weather-wise. Polish off sort of 3 or 4 of those in one sitting quite merrily.
So there's enough going on with it to merit you going again and having a few of them?
Yeah, I would say I'd probably, if I was doing that, I might need a bit of food. Just because if I was just going to drink that on repeat, I would get a little bit bored of it just because it is only sort of designed to have a couple of moves. But if I was there enjoying a nice lunch or, you know, something a bit heavier on a barbecue, say, something like that, and I want a couple of beers to cut through it, job done. That's a really nice beer, and I'm looking forward to trying the wheat and the stout I also have from them. So that's a really nice start. I'm really encouraged from that.
Right, well, that's a tough act to follow there. High praise from Dave B. So will my brewery get high praise? I'm going to Leamington Spa for my brew to me, and it's the Lazy Whale Brewing Company, who I think they came across my radar a few months ago on Instagram. I haven't heard very much about them, and they're in quite a very early stages of their life at the moment, Lazy Whale. They haven't released many beers, but just before Christmas, they did release a Christmas pack with four sort of seasonal beers. There was a pumpkin spiced ale, a Christmas brown ale, and then a citrus IPA and a West Coast IPA, and a couple of others as well. Yeah, so Jason from Lazy Whale very kindly sent me out a pack. It was a good deal, actually, because it was £25 for those four and another couple, and a couple of beers from other breweries as well. So it was a really good deal. And I noticed that nobody has checked in this on Untappd, so it really is quite a rarity.
Uncharted territory.
It is. So I'm really looking forward to it. The one I've got, I should say, is that West Coast IPA I mentioned. It's called Captain Kidd, 4.7%. And a quick disclaimer, I used to, until fairly recently, pretty much hate West Coast IPAs. Didn't do a great deal for me. Just in the last few weeks, I've started to come around to the idea of them, and I am quite liking them.
Is that because you're sort of wanting a bit of a break from the juice and whatnot?
I think it could be, you know. There are so many big juice bombs around, and you sort of get a bit bored of them after a while, and then you start thinking, oh, maybe there's something else out there that I could try for a bit. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of...
Oh, that's...
It's quite dark.
That's darker than I... Yeah, that's darker than I would expect. What's the percentage on it?
4.7.
Very dark. If I was looking at that, that would look like a barley wine almost. It's sort of ruby in colour.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be like that. More a goldeny, yellowy brown, really, than that. But we shall see.
So it doesn't really look like what you would associate a West Coast with. What's the sort of smell and taste like then?
It smells very malty. And, I, you know, looking at the colour, you can kind of see that as well. It doesn't smell very hoppy.
Right.
And I've no idea what hops are in it because it doesn't say on the can. And I can't sort of track that down anywhere. And, you know, I'd be really hard pushed to have a go at what was in there, to be honest. It's not unpleasant. It's just not what I expected.
Well, on the website, the full description is part of Project Imperious Pirate Ale, apparently, which was one of the beers that featured in a special box of four India Pale Ales named for four notorious pirates. And Captain Kidd is aiming for pine notes and lots of them. So do you get lots of pine?
No.
Okay. What do you get?
You know, I've had quite a lot of beers just recently with Galaxy, and you get a lot of pine off that. This is a very different ball game to that. It's not tasting like that to me. It is more like a traditional ale, a sort of ruby ale.
That's a long way from a West Coast, in fairness. It does look, it does look like it, actually.
And I'm not complaining, because it tastes quite nice.
Just not sort of what you were expecting. A bit like what I had last month, where my mind got scrambled because it didn't look like what I was expecting. That would have thrown me coming out of the can as well, in fairness.
If it said on the can, red ale, ruby red ale or something, absolutely. I shall pour some more and have some more because it tastes great. There's no denying how good it tastes. It just isn't that taste that I was expecting. Yeah.
So it sounds like you'd still have more from Lazy Whale, but just be waiting to see what else you've got.
I've got, I think, another four or five downstairs waiting for me to tuck into, and I certainly wouldn't be put off from trying those at all. Be interesting to see if those match their descriptions and whether they live up to what they're billed to be. I think what we can take from this is that it quite obviously isn't what we were expecting it to be. We saw that straight away from the colour because it was a lot darker than we imagined. Doesn't taste like we expected it to taste. Doesn't taste like your crafty West Coast IPA. It tastes a lot more traditional to me, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just not what we expected. So I've had a couple of beer tastings there. Why don't we have a change of tempo now? And we're really, really chuffed to introduce to you from Vault City, now in Edinburgh, Andy, the marketing manager, to tell you what's been going on there in what's been an extraordinary 12 months.
Hey, this is Andy, the marketing manager for Vault City Brewing here. For those of you that don't know Vault City, we're an almost exclusively sour beer brewery based in Scotland. We make what we like to call modern sour beer. We add huge amounts of fruit, and we like to come up with absolutely mad flavours, which take inspiration from lots of different areas. So we have beers inspired by soft drinks, by cocktails, by baked goods, you name it, we've put it into a sour beer. I'm actually talking to you from our new brewery in Portobello, Edinburgh right now, which might be a little echoey, and this is super exciting for us. Originally from Edinburgh, the brewery started in founder Steve's kitchen on a 400-litre brew kit on the stovetop. After cooking up some batches and building the brand on the 400-litre kit, Steve made the plunge to move up to Dundee with the brewery. A space opened up in 71 Brewing's warehouse, where we were able to occupy a small bit of their space, and it was quite an interesting setup, where it's not quite Gypsy, not quite Cuckoo, not quite Contract Brewing. So we used 71's brew kit, booked in brew days, but once the work was transferred over to our area of the warehouse, it became ours. We owned all the cold side kit, so the fermenters, the packaging line, hop rocket, and all that other good stuff was all under our remit to look after. That first jump up to Dundee was at the tail end of 2019 after a really successful season of touring Vault City Brewing at beer festivals across the UK and over Europe, where we became pretty notorious for our ridiculously fruited, what we now call modern sour beers. 2020 was a real nightmare for everyone in brewing, and we did what everybody had to do and swiftly build an online shop. We wanted to get our modern sour beers into the hands of people that still wanted tasty beverages in their lives, pandemic be damned. The reaction we had for our web shop was quite frankly staggering. The support of our community online was so strong that our little web shop couldn't handle it and crashed, or more accurately, we crashed. After launching a couple of Imperial Stouts on one of our sour Sundays, we had so many orders that everything kind of fell apart. At this point, there was only two of us working in the brewery, and it was just too much for us to handle. So we made a pretty bold call, and we just pulled the plug, and we stopped selling online for a couple of weeks until we built a new platform on a new site, and we're ready to come back with a really strong offer. We quickly got back into our stride after lockdown Mark 1 was lifted, and we put out a huge number of beers last year, launching on what we called Sour Sunday. Every couple of weeks on a Sour Sunday, we would have two or three new beers to launch out into the world. This tallied up to our peak, I think about August. We launched 9 new beers in 1 month, which was getting a little bit silly, so we decided to dial back a little bit, start working a little bit smarter and less hard, and we began building a really tight-knit, awesome little team. And a little after 1 year of operating out of Dundee, we moved the brewery again, this time back to Edinburgh. We now have our own space, we've got a huge warehouse. In fact, our office space is about the same size as our entire production area back up at 71 Brewing. We have a 40-hectolitre brew kit now, which is actually about the same size we were brewing before. We've only added one more fermenter, so we're not looking to produce a huge amount more beer here. It's more about being able to do it on our own terms, in the way that we want to do it, and having the flexibility to produce the beers that we want to produce. The brewery really started to take shape here in December. We had our brew kit arrive and commissioning over Christmas and New Year type time, which is when the first beers that were released this year were brewed. And we've hit our stride already in 2021 with our Sour Sunday launches every 2 weeks, and we've dialed it back so that we're launching 6 beers a month. So every 2 weeks we have 3 brand new beers from one of our 3 modern sour beer ranges. We've broken them down into ABV categories, but also in sort of nonsense categories. So we have our session sours coming in at about 4%, usually with a single fruit. We then have what we call our silly sours, which are the big mad ideas at the other end of the scale. These are often over 10%. These are often in double-digit sour beers with huge amounts of fruit, often in a lot of variety, sometimes inspired by cocktails or whatever else takes a fancy. If it isn't silly enough, it doesn't go in the silly sour category. What we're then left with is our beers in the middle, which are still pretty high octane at 7%, there or thereabouts, and with usually 250 to 300 grams per litre of fruit. These can be anything from obscure berries that we've found in various forms across the world. We've used tayberries and honeyberries before, to bakery-inspired beers, bakery-inspired sour beers like our Plum Bakewell. And we'll be rolling these through all year, launching 6 new beers a month, 3 every fortnight. We started the year on a real high with our production singing, launching loads of great new beers that we're really proud of straight off the bat from our new kit. We're also now a team of 5, which is pretty crazy for us, as we've been such a small team for so long. Not that 5 is a very big team, mind you. So we are, in our new spot in Portobello in Edinburgh. We're really happy with how our house mix culture is performing, despite the move across the country. We're really proud of the beers that we've released already this year. And we're really excited for what's coming up in 2021. Looking forward this year, we are going to hit up some more international markets, try and get our beer further across the globe. We're also going to be expanding the team a little bit and putting out a little bit more beer, but nothing crazy off the bat. And the big one for us is also looking at opening a tap room. So that is nothing that's been confirmed, but it's definitely a big part of the reason that we moved to the site we're in Portobello, is the ability to have a tap room here and not just be able to get out into the world, pandemic permitting, and meet people, do tastings, get some beer dinners on the go, but be able to do those things right in our own backyard, or literally right under our own roof. So that is our Vault City Brewing update. A little bit of history there. Sorry to bore you folks that already know the story of Vault City Brewing and where we've been already, but this is how we got to where we are. And we are headed into the future and looking forward to being able to get back out on the road, being able to meet everybody at beer festivals, get some tap takeovers on the go, do some tastings. It's always the best drinking our beer with you guys, and can't wait to potentially welcome you into a tap room right in our doorstep. So everybody be safe, stay sane, enjoy good beer, and we'll see you on the other side. Cheers.
Well, it's time for our brand new feature now on Daft About Craft, Drink Along With Us, brought to you with our good friends at Real Ale. Every episode we'll be handpicking 3 drinks off the shelves of Real Ale's web shop, and telling you in advance what they are, so you can grab them as well at a discounted rate and then drink along with us as we open them and see if you like them as much as we do. And we're really excited about this, aren't we, Dave B?
Yeah, this is something. We had an idea. We wanted to do it anyway, and then the stars have aligned, but we're able to do it with Real Ale, which is brilliant. They've definitely got the range of beers that we're after, so we can sort of bring you different things each episode. And, you know, do you like it? Do you not? What don't you like? What do you like? If you've got any suggestions of the type of beers you want to find out a bit more about and drink along with us, please let us know.
So we've got three beers today. It's usually probably going to be two or three different beers. And like we say, we'll have different styles, so you can all get involved. Just watch out on our social media. If you have been doing that, you'll see that one of the beers we picked this time was from Partisan Brewing in London, and it's their Dealey Pale. And, well, we've got it right here. So should we crack on, Dave? Open it up?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is 5.5%, double dry hopped pale ale. As you say, Partisan, they've been going nearly 10 years now, close by to Real Ale, so this should be nice and fresh, as it's South Bermondsey, so it's nice and local to them. Named after their cat, or former pest controller cat, Dee Dee. So there's a nice little tail to it as well.
Could do with one of those here. Lovely foamy, creamy head on it, nice yellow colour.
Really nice oaty nose. They say on the can that they're doubled their standard amount of dry hopping and also increased the amount of oats and wheat. I can really get a nice, light, sort of full oat.
Very much.
Oaty mousse.
That's very nice indeed, isn't it?
That's lovely.
5.5%. We're gradually going up the scale with the three beers. This is the lowest ABV of the three.
That's very pleasant. The dry hop's quite mild on it, I think. So if you're not a fan of a big, heavy dry hop, you'll enjoy that.
No real bitter edge to it either as well. It's very well rounded, isn't it?
Yeah, no bitterness, just a sort of a bit of a dryness at the end, but not sort of really going into big bitter notes.
We know a few of you let us know that you actually got these beers in advance to drink along, so hopefully you've cracked yours open and you're enjoying this one. Let us know on the Instagram page or our Facebook page what you think of it. And hopefully we can get a real dialogue going with you. Right, well, we're not going to mess around too much with these because we've got lots of beers to talk about on the show. So we're going to go straight in to the next one. I was really...
You stumped for this one.
This was my idea. I do love a goes, and I do love Polly's. So when Polly's had got a rhubarb and quince goes, I thought this is the one. And this is testing Dave B a little bit as well, because this isn't really his bag.
No, this is a good part of it, because if I was picking the beers each time, goes and things like that probably would struggle to get a look in. So this is a good part of having two of you do it, I guess.
And I think that's probably the same with a lot of listeners as well. You know, they probably wouldn't automatically, if sours and goes aren't their thing, they wouldn't be going anywhere near this. So maybe you're trying to goes for the first time today. If you are, I hope you like it, because I'm pretty sure I will. Lots of rhubarb on the nose. The colour of it isn't maybe the lightish pink you might imagine it to be with rhubarb in there.
It's certainly on the sour end, which is what you want.
Cool.
Very tart.
It is. Nice bit of salt in there as well. Like that. In fact, that rhubarb, it ends with, it smells of rhubarb, but it also ends with the rhubarb for me.
It definitely smells of rhubarb. It smells of it sort of when it's stewing.
Mm. Big fan of that. It's called plant sugar. We didn't actually say that. And it is 7%.
It doesn't taste like 7%. I would
it
say that.
Certainly
goes
doesn't.
Down very easily for the percentage. And the salt does come through as well, as you say.
It is Anglesey sea salt, no less. And I love that. Remember one of the very first craft beers I ever had when I was already getting into the scene a few years ago was a collab between Cloudwater and Beavertown, of all people. And that had a massive salt hit to it. And that's what really got me into beers with salt. I really enjoyed that. And this is really fresh and clean and salty. As you can imagine, I love this one.
I'm enjoying it the more I'm drinking it. It's a little bit of an acquired taste for me, but I can sort of see the appeal to it. And I could see why I'd want to sort of have that and then try another sort of style of goes, someone else's goes.
I've always found that rhubarb sort of almost makes me sweat. It's so it can be so tart sometimes, and I can feel this doing the same actually. So there is heaps of rhubarb coming through. That does its job really, really well.
Last but not least, we're not trying to race through these, but there's lots of good beers. These are really good beers, and we just want to get them there. And we don't want to go overboard with our reviews. We really want to hear what you think of them. This is about, as Dave says, creating a dialogue. So last but not least, we've got Track, If Not Now, and we're right back into my wheelhouse now. This is a double IPA. We got Strata, Citra and Galaxy, 8%, and Track have been on point for quite a while now, actually. They've been knocking out some really outstanding stuff.
And this is a really interesting one because obviously Strata and specifically Galaxy are really dominant hops, aren't they? You can never get away from Galaxy. So it'd be interesting to see if the Citra shines through as well here.
First things first, the nose of this is I could think this was Verdant without guessing. If I didn't see know the can, I'd think I was drinking a Verdant perhaps. It's very veggie.
This is the veggie nose you often refer to. Yeah, I see what you mean.
Doesn't taste veggie.
Good.
Does not taste veggie in the slightest. That is delightfully smooth. Pillowy smooth, I would say.
It pours smooth. It sort of froths into the glass, doesn't it? Beautiful and smooth. Mm.
Yeah, you can probably tell I'm a lot happier now. I'm back in my comfort zone.
Yeah, you've got rid of that.
This is a delight.
Yeah, this is very pleasant. Yeah. I went to Track some years ago to when they were at their previous place under the railway arch near to Cloudwater. And I don't think they've been going that long. I wasn't, you know, the beer was good, but goodness me, they've improved. They've come a long way in a short amount of time because now I think their beers are consistently excellent. Mm. And across the styles as well, you know, they did some brilliant sours as well. Not just the IPAs, but this is excellent. 8%. Does it taste like 8%? Not really.
Just about at times. I've just had a few more sips and I'd say now the Galaxy's just starting to kick in a bit at the back end. The first couple of sips, it was really sort of perhaps settling down and really rounded and fruity, and it's still very rounded, but now I'm just getting a bit of Galaxy dank bitterness on the end, which is not unpleasant.
What is interesting is that we mentioned how that Galaxy can be so dominant and really take over. It doesn't take over at all here. This is really well-rounded and well-balanced, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like I said, these beers with the Galaxy can be very one-note, but this certainly isn't. You can taste everything that's going on here.
Mm. No, I'm really pleased with that. And I'm really pleased with all three. I think this is a really strong start. Hopefully, the listeners will agree. I can already see, just looking at the three beers now, perhaps next month there might need to be something dark in the mix.
There's a dark one coming next month, I think. Yeah,
I think that might be the way to go. So if you're drinking these thinking, oh, I'd like to see a stout or a porter, don't worry, I think we'll do that next month, definitely.
But also, if you get yourself along to Real Ale's web store, have a look. If there's something on there that you like the look of, let us know, and we can certainly consider getting that on the next podcast.
Yeah, that's it. As I say, we're every 3 weeks now, as hopefully you know by now. So we will be endeavouring to get the freshest things we can off Real Ale shelves.
Yep.
So if there's something you spot, as Dave says, and you think, well, I wouldn't mind having a go at that and seeing what everyone else thinks, let us know.
And now it's time for Hype or Tripe.
It's that part of the podcast where we grab hold of a really high-profile beer off the shelves and give it a thorough grilling, taste test it and see if we like it. And we've got not one, but two beers for you this month, Dave.
Yes, following on from the immensely successful Putty Hype or Tripe last month, which felt like probably one of the best we've had for the feature, we've got, as Dave says, not one, but two. We were going to just go along with Daya's first ever Soul Tipper,
which I've got right in front of me, which is called Routine Bites Hard.
But then, because craft beer moves along so quickly, Cloudwater, who excelled in this spot a couple of episodes ago, are back again, this time in collaboration with Vale, because it is the third iteration of Chubbles, which has been very hard to get hold of.
And we almost could have, there was another one we could have picked as well, because Polly's have had a quad IPA around for their birthday beer, wasn't it?
Yes, that was in the running as well. I do have one.
You can't help yourself, can you? You've got all these.
I couldn't help myself. I could have had all three, but if I'd had all three, this would be a very messy podcast.
Have you had the previous incarnations of this?
No, I had a look and I don't think I've had any Chubbles before. I know it. Crikey, that's fruity. I can smell it from here and the glass is a good sort of 10 inches away from me. I don't think I've had any of these before because I know whenever they do come out, they get a lot of love. But for whatever reason, it's, I wouldn't say passed me by, but I've just not been in the position to either get or was that fussed about getting them, but this time around it felt sort of only right to try and get my hands on one.
Oh wow, that looks massively vibrant in the glass, that does.
Yeah, it's exactly what you'd hope for a tipper. But as you say, because we've had tipper discussions before, this is vibrant, isn't it? It's not that sort of murky, mucky, orangey.
No.
Yeah, it's very bright. It is very fruity. It's not whacking me over the head in terms of pulling out a particular fruit just yet. I know there's Enigma, Nelson, Galaxy and Citra, I think is the combination for this.
Oh, so if you've got your Enigma and your Galaxy, I guess that's a bit woody and resinous and...
Yeah, Galaxy, Citra, Nelson and Enigma. So that's actually not quite as quite what I thought it would be. I'd sort of done a little bit of research into it just to see what other people were saying, and I was getting a lot of positive things saying, oh, this is super fruity with the alcohol's not really in it at all. It was fruity. It is actually going a little bit danky resin already.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what, while yours, I think with these big beers like this, it's good to see how the flavour develops over a few minutes. So shall I, with that in mind, shall I pour mine out? So this is Deus Routine Bites Hard, which is a 10% triple IPA and the very first tipper that Dea have ever produced. Hard to believe they haven't actually done one before, but really exciting to try it anyway.
Yeah, they've been involved in a collab, didn't they, with North.
That's right.
I forget the name of it now, but this is their first one where they've just done it in their own place. You've got a slightly lighter colour, I would say.
It is, yeah.
It's a very nice looking.
And this is Mosaic and Simcoe are the hops involved here, which is a classic combination and one I like. Oof. Wow, no messing around. That's right in your right smacks you around the head. That does the Mosaic and the Simcoe, but it's very well balanced because there's not a chance I would say that is 10% when it is, but it certainly doesn't taste that way. And I've got 500 mils to get through, of course, because Deus cans are all half-litre cans. That's very nice. A little bit bitter at the end there, which I guess is the Mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a first attempt at a tipper, that's pretty good. And a range of comments from people, some loving it and some not too bad. But yeah, that's right up there for me. I think that lives up to the hype. Let me see how this develops. How's yours coming along?
I'm struggling a little bit with this, which I really didn't expect to do. If anything, the back end is now getting more Galaxy pronounced. And it's not bad, but it's not blowing me away. I was sort of thinking it was going to be really big, juicy fruit with then a sort of bitter end to it. But with the sort of the veil, which is this is in collaboration with their... based in Virginia, sort of getting that US, maybe getting that sort of US juiciness and then combining it with Cloudwater's flair for putting beers together as well. And you'd get this sort of supremely juicy tipper and with a sort of bitter back end maybe, but it's not quite there for me. You know, going back a month to Putty, it's different to Putty as in it's not as strong and resiny and piney, but it's not a million miles away from that in some ways. It feels like it could be a more amped version of that.
So if you had to put your neck on the block, what do you prefer, this one or Putty, remembering back to a few weeks ago? Or are they not really comparable?
I don't think they're probably quite comparable because we've jumped up the strength a bit, obviously, and also Verdant do have their own style. This could come from a few breweries, I think, and I wouldn't have been surprised. It could be, I'm trying to think, this could come from North, or this could come from Northern Monk, and I wouldn't have batted an eyelid. And that's not to run either of those breweries down, because they're very, very good as well, as are Cloudwater. It just doesn't quite have that sort of stamp of Cloudwater. I wouldn't have had enough of the Veil to know if this is what the Veil do all the time. So I can't really comment on that side, but I've had plenty of Cloudwater and it doesn't it doesn't have that sort of trademark spin or take, and you could sort of pick it a bit and think, oh yeah, I can tell why this is causing all this sort of excitement and why this is so expensive and things like that.
Often when you have a cloud water as well, you can tell immediately that it is a cloud water. They've got kind of their stamp on it, haven't they?
For me, that's not quite there. It's certainly drinkable. I'm left a little bit flat. And I think in the back of my mind, I know what, you know, these kind of beers, because of their strength and because of their also the sort of the hype element of it, they are not cheap. This was not cheap. And I'm struggling to say that it's worth it.
How much was it?
Yeah, I think I paid about £11 or £11.50 for it. And it's on strength, yes, you have to pay that. On what I'm getting out of the can, I'd make a case that I could probably have had two DDHs for half the price and possibly be happier.
Now, how much was the Dea, the Routine Bites Hard? That was a little less, wasn't it? Was that about £8? Is that right?
I think that's what it comes in if you're getting it not from Dea.
Mm.
If you get it, I know they do packs of it, sort of six where it works out for £6 a can. So probably in bottle shops with a bit of a markup, yeah, probably around the £8 mark.
Now, from what you're saying and the look on your face as you're drinking it, I would say that I'm preferring my £8 triple IPA from Dea somewhat more than you are.
Yeah, I think that's fair. This is, yeah, I'm not bowled over by this. I can't get on the hype bandwagon with that at all, unfortunately. And I always want to with these sorts of things. You know, I don't go in with natural skepticism. I want to enjoy something, especially when you see how much it's getting praised. You sort of want to taste it and see what the fuss is about. In this case, if you can't get hold of a can, because they are very tricky to get hold of, I don't know if you're missing out.
Funny thing, isn't it, about these high strength beers, because both of us sort of, we see these beers, they go on sale, they come out to a huge fanfare, and we think, oh, we've got to get these, we want to try them. But even if we have enjoyed them, we'd rarely go back and buy it again, would we? We'd only have one, really.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gone back to any of the really, the only expensive beer, and I didn't get to have it the first time round, or I did pay for it the first time round, was the Omnipollo Bianca series. And I had one of those as a gift, and I thought it was a phenomenal beer. And then I treated myself a few weeks ago and bought one, and I'm just saving it for a special occasion because I know how good that beer is. And I've had a couple of those Biancas, and I think they're excellent beers, but they're all different each time if you want them to be. But something like, as you're saying, Verdant Putty next year, I mean, we might want to do it for the podcast, but I don't know if I'd be seeking it out off my own back to want to have one.
Yeah, and while I'm enjoying this, I probably wouldn't be steaming in again to part with another £8 or £9, whatever it is, to try it again. I think sometimes with these beers, you've got to try them if you're interested in the scene and you want to see what's out there. But they're never going to be beers you go back to again and again, are they? Just because of how strong they are. And also the cost of them too.
Although that said, we did both rave about that, the Cloudwater Persistences Utah, didn't we?
Oh, that was
now if that, that, was if, that if that came around again, I could probably have my arm twisted to try it again.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. There's not many beers that fall into that category, though, I don't think.
No.
Very few.
I think we're both very much checkers in that it's one and done unless you sort of just want to go back for various reasons.
Just going back to what it says on the can here from Dea, they're using the most potent hops at their disposal and a clean, neutral ale strain to present an indulgent celebration of juice. A massively juicy and decadent triple IPA with our two favourite hops, as I said, Mosaic and Simcoe. And I've had beers that are higher on the juice level, but I can't really take away from it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this at all. And if you can get hold of it, do get hold of it. I would, yeah, I think it lives up to the hype. Not saying I'd go back and have another one, but it's good.
Okay, and I think I'm going to come down on the side of, if you really want to try this and you've either ordered one, you've got one on order, or you happen to be doing an order and you see it and you sort of think, oh, I want to try it. I really want to try it. I'd never put anyone off to that degree, but I would say it's not a cheap beer. And for me, it doesn't quite deliver what I wanted it to. It's not fruity enough for me. I will say that it is smooth, and the Galaxy never sort of takes over on the back end. It's there, but it doesn't dominate. But nor does the front end do anything different throughout. It's quite one note all the way through, which is disappointing for me as well. I thought it to do a few things, and it doesn't. So, yeah, on this occasion, not for me.
Daft About Craft.
And that is just about it for episode number 9. Gosh, we got through a lot of beers there. We'll be back with you in 3 weeks' time, which means you'll be able to download our next episode on Monday, March the 8th. And we're really looking forward to that, as well as the usual features, the new drink along with us, and a little new slot where we reveal our favourite beer that we've drunk since the previous podcast. We're really looking forward to having a brand new brewery on with us. Can't wait to welcome Dan and Sam from the Copper Beach Brewing Company in Worcestershire, quite local to me. And we've got some of their beers here already, but we're not going to touch them until we speak to them, so they can see our reaction straight away. And I think we're going to like their beers. They've got 3 different ones to start off with, and we'll be telling you much, much more about them in 3 weeks' time. So tune in if you can. It'd be great to have you along. Keep on drinking the beer. Keep on getting in touch with us on social media, and we will see you very soon.
Daft About Craft.
You have been listening to Daft About Craft, the craft beer podcast, brought to you in association with independent bottle shop Real Ale. You can buy online at realale.com and in-store at Twickenham, Notting Hill and Maida Vale. Follow them on Instagram at realale_LTD.